It's day 19. We're trekking our way up the steep, hot trails towards the finish line. We're going to start today with a time of worship. The song Heart of Worship is a modern classic written in the late 1990s. A lot of you have probably heard this song before, but I'm also guessing many of you haven't heard the story behind the song, and it brings a whole new meaning and significance to it. The writer of the song, Matt Redman, was a worship pastor in Watford, England at the time, and he and his pastor felt that their corporate worship times were dry and that the people were coming to church with more of a consumer mentality towards worship. Instead of worship being about bringing an offering to God, it became about what the church and God could do for them. They fell into a reliance on sound systems, a big band, lights, and all the external things that aren't in and of themselves bad, but they can also serve as distractions from the main point of our worship, communion with Jesus. There's a dynamic missing, so the pastor did a pretty brave thing, Matt Redman recalls. He decided to get rid of the sound system and band for a season, and we gathered together with just our voices. His point was that we lost our way in worship, and the way to get back to the heart would be to strip everything away. Initially, there was awkwardness, but eventually the church found their voice like never before and became content with just Jesus. It's so easy to get caught up in worship being about ourselves. We hope the worship team plays the songs we like, or the lighting is good, or we get a nice feeling during worship. All of these things have their place and aren't wrong. I have an appreciation for them as a worship leader, but it's when we rely on these outward things that we have missed the purpose of worship. Worship is just about Him and who He is. He's worthy of our worship no matter how we feel. This song isn't just a catchy tune or poetically written lyrics. It's written from experience. I pray we can have a similar experience right here in the valley, where we discover God is all we need and we can worship Him no matter the circumstances.
When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's a word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. Search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart, and I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart, and I'm coming back to the heart of worship, where it's all about Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'll bring you more than a song. I'll bring you more than a song. More than a song, Jesus. I'll bring you more than a song. More than a song. More than a song, Jesus. I'll bring you more than a song. I'll bring you more than a song. More than a song, Jesus. I'll bring you more than a song. I'll bring you more than a song. Than a song, 'cause I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Today, we get to hear from an amazing couple, Jeff and Natalie Faust. Jeff and Natalie met on a blind date in college and have been doing ministry together ever since. They started with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship and shortly after launched their own Christian nonprofit serving inner city youth in Kansas City. After about 10 years working in the inner city, they began to feel a call to work with the local Vineyard Church, which eventually led them to their current roles of pastoring Vineyard Church of the Rockies. Married for 15 years with three kids, they love family time, especially centered around soccer and golf, and they're passionate about sharing their faith, hosting parties, and they have a deep desire for God's kingdom to impact every area of their life.
Following Jesus doesn't mean you're protected from every tragedy, emotion, and hardship. Jesus himself experienced rejection, pain, hunger, and ridicule. He agonized in the Garden of Gethsemane and, of course, suffered in extreme ways on the cross. And our life has been no different. Jeff and I have experienced incredible hardships and tragedy over the last few years. We've lost a pregnancy, felt incredible isolation and pain, have been betrayed by some of our closest friends, and recently, Jeff even lost his 37-year-old brother. For a while, it felt like heartbreak after heartbreak after heartbreak. We learned a lot about following Jesus in the midst of those tragedies, and one of the most important things we learned is that despite the pain, despite the tragedy, and even despite the betrayal, community is still key to our ability to persevere and have the endurance needed to walk out of the valley with a heart that still loves God and loves people. Isolation is the temptation, but community is key.
Community is essential to many parts of life, and here's just one quick example or illustration. When we first moved to Colorado, we thought we were going to be amazing hikers, and we thought we'd really love it. But what we've learned is that we're not actually mountain people. And we like to look at the mountains, we love to visit the mountain towns and stay in cabins, but we actually just like the hot tubs and the fire pits. We don't necessarily like to hike in the mountains. We're not big into hiking, but something we've both done is run a marathon and other extreme endurance races and sports. And these are great metaphors for life, because when you're 20 miles in and you're exhausted from the race, but still working towards the finish line, the same reality is true, that community is key. When you run in a group of friends, when you're surrounded by people who are cheering you on, and when you're encouraged by all the other runners on the track, it makes finding the endurance and perseverance you need to finish the race set before you that much easier to find. But here is an important thought. Although community is good and essential, and it's a powerful force in your life towards freedom, victory, or whatever else it is that you need from God, as much as community is key, comparison is a killer. Just like the marathons, there will always be people running faster. There will always be people training longer, and there will always be people that you are passing, but also people who are passing you. And you can't focus on how fast people are running their race, especially in comparison to you, because comparison is a killer, and we have no idea what the complete story is for everyone we meet. Besides, even Jesus walked from town to town to grow and teach and expand the kingdom of God. I mean, the guy never took a car, never took a plane, never had to rush to get anywhere. He walked from town to town at probably about 3 miles an hour, the average walking pace of any human. And Jesus accomplished a lot in his life by simply walking forward. Any progress is good progress. And if you spend your emotional energy comparing yourself to someone else's race, you're wasting your efforts. When you're climbing out of a tragedy and you're dealing with heartache, the race is enough for you. So embrace your community, because community is key, but comparison is a killer.
So we want to share a powerful action step for you today. Today for sure, and honestly every day, it's a good idea, but let's start small. If you want endurance and you want perseverance for the journey ahead, it's not enough to be in community. You also need to rely on community. As Christians, one of the most important things you can do is rely on the prayers of others. So here's a powerful action step that we're encouraging you to do today. Call someone, text them, or better yet, meet with them face to face and ask this simple 7-word question. Can you pray for me right now? Not later, not in theory, and not when you've got enough endurance for the race set before you. Rely on that community starting today, and rely on them by asking for prayer. Some of us are always praying for others, and we never stop to receive. Others don't pray or receive, but this is a powerful phrase that could change your life. When we were going through all of the tragedies that we were facing, all the loss and heartache, it wasn't the vacation we went on to escape the pain that helped. It wasn't the extra date nights we used to try to make our joy return. And it wasn't the well-timed preaching of an amazing pastor that turned the tide. It was the prayers of those closest to us in community. Can you pray for me right now? Don't wait and don't delay. Ask that question as much as you need it.
As you ask for prayer from the people inside your community, we want to close with one of the most amazing biblical promises you can find in Scripture. This is from Revelation chapter 21, and it's about the future of heaven and our future promises with God. It says in Revelation 21:4 that one day He will wipe every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All of those things are gone forever, because God is making all things new. We're all on a journey. It can be painful, difficult, include ups and downs, and at times almost completely wipe us out. But if you can learn that comparison is a killer, but community is key, and if you can wait with great anticipation for this promise to become your reality, then God will give you all the endurance and perseverance you need. And all along the way, He will begin to wipe your tears, ease your pain, and give you peace.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow. Here I am to say that You're my God. You're altogether lovely.
What a great word from Jeff and Natalie about the power of prayer and community. I don't want us to move on too quickly without taking time to reflect on this. Let's take a moment right now to think and pray practically about what steps you need to take. Maybe you need to reach out to someone to ask for prayer or to offer prayer. Maybe you need to find a church community or become more committed to one. Maybe you need to mend a broken relationship. Take a moment now to pray and ask God to lead you. Encourage you to take those next steps to walk and grow in community. Be someone who is willing to ask for help and prayer from those around you, and be someone who can be relied on by others who need it as well. We also want to take this time as a chance to remind you to post your prayer requests on the community page so that people all over the world in this online community can be praying for you as well. See you tomorrow for day 20.